Do you understand God will give you wisdom beyond what you're able, beyond what you know, beyond your experience? God will give you wisdom. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask for it, God will give it to you. And you know that another source of wisdom, as you read the Bible, as you study the Bible, do you understand you will be empowered with wisdom? And if you just simply walk according to the Bible, teach according to the Bible, talk to people according to the Bible, you'll seem wise. Life lesson, pray for God to give you the strength and wisdom to face the difficult decisions of life.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, David McGee is teaching through 2 Samuel chapter 3. And here in the studio, we have one of David McGee's assisting pastors, Neil, to share with us.
Great to be here with you, Bob. Great to be here with the listeners today. And Pastor David's going to be sharing with us when we face that difficult moment and we need strength and wisdom. What do?
Well, Neil, we can look into the Bible. We can talk to friends. What else can we do?
We pray, we pray, we pray. We ask God for that strength and wisdom. And really, that's an important thing for us to be doing. And Pastor Dave's going to be sharing about that today.
So let's listen as David McGee shares verse by verse as he continues teaching through 2 Samuel chapter 3.
Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3. For those who haven't been with us, I'm going to kind of set up the chapter, what's going on, and also kind of just a refresher for us who have been here. 2 Samuel is a continuation of 1 Samuel. We believe that part of these books, which were originally one book in the Hebrew Bible, part of them were written by Samuel, and we believe 2 Samuel was written primarily by Nathan and Gad, perhaps. We're not positive, but... And now we're into the story of David. 1 Samuel dealt with Samuel and then Saul, and David comes on the scene in 1 Samuel, and now David is kind of a main player, if you will, central focus of the book. And what's going on now is there's a civil war between David and the remaining son of Saul is what's going on. And there's contentiousness and there's battles and there's fighting and there's civil war in the nation of Israel. And people are getting hurt. So that's kind of the setup. Now, chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Samuel. It says, "Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker." So in the civil war, the house of David was winning. We talked about last week how the men that were with David were very experienced in fighting and in battles, where the people that were left remaining with Saul were those people who didn't engage in the last battle that Saul was in, where he was killed and also three of his four sons. Verse 2. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon by Adonijah the Jezreelitess. His second, Chileab, by Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. The third, Absalom, the son of Maachah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephathiah, of the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife, Eglah. Now, these were born to David in Hebron. What if you were watching your king do this, marry six women, and you were familiar with Deuteronomy 17? Would you begin to protest, go online, maybe start a blog about how evil the king is? It's interesting, in the New Testament, Paul talks about submitting to authority. About the time Paul was writing that, do you know who the leader of the government that was over Israel at that time? It's probably Nero. There have been few men in the history of humanity that have been so twisted and perverted and hurtful as Nero. And yet, in that time, Paul says, submit to the authorities. It's an amazing thing to stop and consider. Verse 6. "Now it was so, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul." Now, Abner was a military leader under Saul, and he's the guy that kind of got Ishbosheth to step forward to be a king. Ishbosheth was the fourth son of Saul. He was a weak man. He was a weak leader. Saul didn't even invite him to that final battle, I don't believe. And verse 7, "And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. So Ishbosheth said to Abner, 'Why have you gone into my father's concubine?'" And we need to understand how serious this is. Later on in 2 Samuel, during the rebellion of Absalom, Ahithophel, an interesting character, we'll get to him later, but he gives Absalom some interesting counsel, 2 Samuel chapter 16, 21. He says, "And Ahithophel said to Absalom, 'Go into your father's concubine, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong.'" That was the ultimate act of rebellion. Laying with the king's concubines was like taking his crown and wearing it on your head. You need to understand, concubines were part of the royal family. There was actually a ceremony where they were placed into the royal family. Again, that doesn't mean the Bible says it's a good thing and something you shouldn't do. It's saying that that's what happened. It's reporting the facts. She was part of the royal family, of the household. And it was treason to lay with the king's concubine. And here we begin to see Abner's real intent in promoting Ishbosheth to be king. It wasn't out of loyalty to Saul. Abner was a power broker. And he knew that if he moved this weak man into place, that he felt like he would be able to control this guy. And suddenly, the man gets a little bit of a spine in verse 7 and says, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Now, it's interesting because up until this point, you can think, well, Abner's this noble guy and he's really wanting to continue the legacy of Saul and, you know, loyalty to Saul and this sort of thing. That's not it. We're getting ready to see his true motives. Do you understand it takes some time sometimes to see somebody's motives? See, sometimes somebody can be doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And it takes time to see their motive or saying the right things for the wrong reason. Or saying something that sounds good, but it's really wrong. That's why I've always been very slow in putting people in positions of authority in this church. Sometimes I've looked at a man and thought, man, that guy's a good leader, and man, he's gifted, and boy, Lord, I want to make him a leader. And the Lord goes, no. And just get this little check. And I go, okay, well, I'll wait, God. Man, time after time, God has been right in leading me to wait. Sometimes I don't have to wait very long. I mean, I'll never forget, I got an interesting job. I got what I think is the best job in the world. If you can call it a job, but it's just kind of interesting. I remember one Sunday night, I was kind of worn out, kind of tired, you know, and this couple, they took me to the side and they said, "Hey, you know what? We want to pray for you." I said, "Okay, pray for them." They said, "No, we want to pray for you right now. Can you come over here and sit with us?" And I thought, okay. Now you're thinking, you're being paranoid, Pastor David. No, I sat down with them and they said, "We want to pray for you." I said, "Good, pray." They said, "No, we need to know how to pray." I said, "Well, just pray, wisdom and discernment." "No, we want to know what's really going on. We want to know your struggles. Pray for wisdom and discernment." "Well, we know you're struggling. We know you're going through some things. You can just share it with us." I said, "I am. Probably not going to do that. Just pray for wisdom and discernment." You could tell they were frustrated, they were flustered, and they prayed for me. 2 weeks later, poosh, they're out of here, man, saying all kinds of stuff. Now, what if I had shared that night stuff that was really going on, revealed my heart? Guys, use wisdom, because not everybody, and I don't mean to make you paranoid, but not everybody that comes to you and saying the right thing is really a godly person. You have to use discernment, because they can say what sounds like the right thing, but they're doing it for the wrong motives. So be careful. And then over time, you can begin to trust people. And over time, I've begun to trust men. And there's men in here and in this church that I trust them with my life. Abner's motivations are coming to the surface. Verse 8, "Then Abner became very angry at the words of Ishbosheth and said, 'Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I showed loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and you have not delivered you into the hand of David, and you charge me today with a fault concerning this woman. May God do so to Abner and more also, if I do not do for David as the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba.'" Wow, look at Abner's reaction. Abner says, "You're going to call me into accountability over this woman? I'm out of here. And I'm going to try to get everybody else to follow David." I have a saying in ministry. When a response is out of proportion to the stimulus, there's another stimulus somewhere. See, because sometimes you can just say a little thing to somebody and all of a sudden it blows up. There's more going on. And then you have to sit back and prayerfully consider, what was up with that response? And Abner, notice what Abner never really answers. Why he did something with that woman. Do you notice? Look at, he blows up. But he never answers the question. Do you know that's you know something we all use? I guarantee everybody in this room has used that at one time or another. Somebody asks you something and, you know, but you never answer the question. So be careful. When somebody asks you to respond about an issue, respond to the issue. Because really what Abner resorts to here, let's be honest, it's emotional manipulation. He gets upset and says, well, I'm gonna get everybody to follow David, hoping that he's gonna go, oh, no, don't follow David. Look, I tell you what, I'll go ahead and make you king or something like that. But he didn't. Verse 11, we see again the weakness of Saul's son. And he could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. It's not the marks of a king. It's not even marks of a leader. He should have taken this man to task, but he didn't. See, Ishbosheth was a weak man, a weak leader, and a weak soldier. That's the reality. And when Abner didn't get his way with him, he deserted him. Verse 12, then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to David saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make your covenant with me. And indeed, my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel to you. So there it is. Abner didn't get his way. So Abner goes over to David. It's interesting to watch sometimes what happens when you have a disagreement with somebody. It tells you a lot about the relationship. When you're agreeing with stuff, it's very rosy and everything's fine. But when you have disagreements is when you really learn about the relationship. Your first disagreement with a friend, your first disagreement in a marriage, your first disagreement at work tells you a lot. How you handle that disagreement. You know, and a lot of times what we do is we avoid disagreements at all costs. We have a disagreement with somebody, oh, we don't talk to them anymore. We avoid them in the hallway. We avoid them at the store. Wow, I had disagreement. Instead of working through the disagreement, which strengthens us, strengthens them, strengthens the relationship. A lot of people choose churches. As long as they don't have a disagreement, they're fine. But the moment a disagreement happens, they're out of there. And they miss an opportunity for them to grow, for the church to grow, and the person they had the disagreement to grow. Because you're always going to have disagreements. If you never have disagreements with somebody, with another person, one of you is lying. I mean, that's just the reality. And so you work through these disagreements. But Abner, he's not willing to do that. And it's been interesting. Once I have a disagreement, notice I say once I have. It's coming. And I even tell you this. I won't appoint or anoint a man as an elder till I've had a disagreement with him. Because it's then I get to see his heart. And I've had these men come to me and say, you know, Pastor, I don't really agree with what you're doing here, but you're the pastor. God anointed you as leader. I'm with you. You'll never hear anything else about it out of my mouth. And I know their heart's with me. And friend, when somebody comes to you about a disagreement, they're stepping out into a very uncomfortable place because they value your friendship. Think twice before you cut that person off. And that works both ways. Boy, a lot of personal relationship application stuff in it.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 13, and David said, good, I will make a covenant with you. But one thing I require of you, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face. So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, give me my wife Michal, who I betrothed to myself for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ishbosheth. Let's all say it together. Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel the son of Laish, Then her husband went along with her to Bahurim, weeping behind her. So Abner said to him, go return, and he returned. And Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, time passed, you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of all their enemies. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Abner's like, yes, God's anointed David. Can I remind you of something? Abner's been fighting against David for about 7.5 years. But all of a sudden, he's come to this realization that David is anointed to be king over Israel. Abner's a smart guy. They're losing. Abner wants to fight for the winning side. He leaves the losing side and all of a sudden comes to this revelation. It's kind of questionable. David, man, David is a... He's got a lot of wisdom. As you look at his interaction and leadership and with the people, he asked for Michal to come to him to be his wife again. Michal was Saul's daughter who Saul gave to David. But then when David fell out of favor with Saul, Saul gave her to another man. David asked for her back again. Why? I think it was to build a bridge to those who were following Saul. I think there's a lot going on. We'll talk about that another time between David and Michal. But I think David, in his wisdom, God-given wisdom, is making this call. Do you understand God will give you wisdom beyond what you're able, beyond what you know, beyond your experience? God will give you wisdom. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask for it. God will give it to you. And you know that another source of wisdom, as you read the Bible, as you study the Bible, do you understand you will be empowered with wisdom? Sometimes people ask me stuff, and it amazes me people would ask me anything. But they ask me something, and I tell them, and even sometimes after I tell them, I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. Never heard that before. That's got to be God. And what I'm doing is speaking out of the wisdom that this book and God has placed in my life. And if you just simply walk according to the Bible, teach according to the Bible, talk to people according to the Bible, you'll seem wise. Wise, because this book is filled with wisdom. Life lesson. Pray for God to give you the strength and wisdom to face the difficult decisions of life. Pray for God to give you the strength and wisdom to face the difficult decisions of life. Here, David's in a very difficult place. He makes a great decision. He could have said, you know what? I'm going to keep fighting you, Abner. I want to win by war. That's not what he does. He makes a very good decision. Why? Because he's asking continuously for wisdom. And Abner's decided to let David be his king, it would seem. I wonder how many people in here tonight that Jesus is really your king. He may be your savior for a lot of you, but is he really your king? Do you understand the nature of a king? A king can say, hey, I need you to go do this. And you don't look at a king and go, why do you want me to do that? You just go, okay, king, you're the king. I'll go do it. But how many of us have less of he's not really our king. He can tell us what to do and we'll sit and we'll debate and we'll sit and we'll argue and we'll sit and we'll reason with him. Friend, he's not yet your king. I like the saying, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Verse 19, and Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin. Then Abner also went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel in the house of Benjamin. So Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron, and David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Then Abner said to David, I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires. So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Now let me ask you a question. Who is really delivering Israel to David? Is it Abner? Not really. He's just the person standing in front of David. God is the one delivering Israel to David. Remember that. Remember that next time, perhaps, that you get a raise at work. But the man that's standing or the woman that's standing in front of you is not your source. It's not the source of your blessing. It's not the source of your needs getting met. Your source is God. And that person that's sitting in front of you is the vehicle that God is using. Verse 22, at that moment, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away and he had gone in peace. And when Joab and all the troops that were with him had come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king and he sent him away and he has gone in peace. Now, last chapter, Abner killed Joab's brother in a battle. Abner actually warned the brother and said, quit following me. If you keep following me, we're going to have it out. You're going to lose. And that's what happened. Verse 24, then Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why is it that you sent him away and he's already gone? Verse 25, surely you realize that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, to know you're going out and you're coming in and to know all that you are doing. David had the wisdom not to listen to this guy's counsel, because this was bad counsel. This guy was saying, you know what? He's just coming to spy on you. Let's continue on with the war. And David has the wisdom and the perception to see the war is just killing a lot of people, and it's a time for making peace. Be careful. Because whenever there's a time to make a peace with somebody, there will come somebody that stirs up that thing. If you want peace in a relationship and you're about to make a phone call, send an email, somebody will come and go, I can't believe you're not going to email them, are you? My goodness, after what they did to you, you're just going to forgive them? Oh, that's not right. Careful. Joab would have done well to follow his king in this. Even though he disagreed with him, he should have followed David's leadership, but he doesn't. And he ends up suffering, and a lot of people end up suffering. Now, let me point out again, Joab is David's nephew. So there's some family stuff going on, probably as well. Verse 26, and when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, brought him back from the well of Sarah, but David did not know it. Now, when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach, so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Joab wanted revenge. But you know what? This isn't really a revenge. Because Asahel had been killed in a battle and actually been warned by Abner himself. Joab committed murder. They weren't in a battle. And he took advantage of the fact that there were some peace talks going on. That's interesting. It's in Hebron. And notice he took him to the gate. Some interesting stuff here. Hebron was what was called a city of refuge, meaning that if you had messed up, even to the point of killing somebody, you could go to the city of refuge and they would determine whether you were at fault or whether you could not, or whether you were not at fault. And it was a place of protection where you could not be messed with. But notice what he does. Calls him to the city gate where he's not under the protection anymore. You understand there's a protection over the body of Christ? When you're plugged into a body and you're active part of that fellowship, there's just a protection that goes with that. You're in a body, you're hearing the Word of God, you've got relationships where somebody will go, oh, you shouldn't do that, or really shouldn't be thinking that way. And once you move out of that body, it never goes as well. I've heard so many stories after stories. Oh, and I know if you're sitting here tonight and you're, you know, oh, I don't have to be in a church to worship God and I can follow God without going to church. Theoretically, yeah, maybe. But you know what I've, in every conversation I've ever had with somebody that made that statement, you know what, I've gotten to the point and I said, oh, you can, yeah, how's it going?
Well, it's not going real well.
Right. We need one another. God made it that way. See, one of us is like a big toe, and the other's a thumb, and I guess I'm the mouth. But, you know, and somebody else is the eye, and we all work together as the body of Christ, and we all need one another. This is a city of refuge. That's why the whole thing about, well, come into the city of refuge, let's figure out what's wrong with you. Thing doesn't work. This is a city of refuge. This is a place, it's a safe place where you can say, you know what, I'm messed up. I'm really struggling with stuff. We won't beat you up or beat you down. If you share your struggles with somebody and they beat you up or beat you down, I want to hear about it. Because I don't want to have that kind of place. This has to be a shelter.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that He died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask Him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. and I've done wrong things. I have sinned, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience His shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.